Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you fucking idiot. You know? I was like, oh, geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are driving the car, doing homework, whatever you like to do while listening to podcasts, welcome in to episode number 5 of Athletes Unfiltered. As always, I'm Jeff Ekstrom, along with my co-host, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going?
It's going good. Happy to be here. Happy to continue putting out episodes. And a lot of really good feedback. I think our last episode with JoJo and Brock was awesome. And it's only going to go up.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of really good support and feedback from everybody. It was really cool to see everyone really enjoy, and especially the thoughts and the behind the scenes and everything that those guys have experienced.
100%. I think they both had some really insightful stories to share, and we probably didn't even get all of it. So maybe somewhere down the road we can bring them back.
Yeah. Well, we have a great episode ahead. Damian Daniels and Ty Robinson will join us soon enough. But first, we'd like to start out with a little intro segment. And why don't we talk about NIL, Adrian? I mean, obviously it was a factor in creating this podcast, and just now it's legal. NCAA banished all the restrictions on that, and obviously I think that's a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's awesome just having the opportunity to kind of explore whatever business, kind of business ideas you have, whatever dreams, whether it's like some of my teammates are starting clothing things, some of them are doing deals with Honest Abe's, you know, little things like that. It's just awesome. Awesome to see. And for me personally, it's been a really cool experience. I've gotten to already work and meet a ton of new people. Mm-hmm. And, I'm excited for what's in store. I feel like I've had the blessing to be able to get some offers early on and get some deals that I've been able to work with that I'm thankful for. So excited for what's to come and excited for what I'm currently doing.
Yeah, and obviously, no secret, you've already posted about it, some deals you've already had. Now, did maybe people want to get a little behind the scenes of how that worked? Did they reach out to you? Was it through Open Doors? How'd that go?
Yeah, so the main one, the big one, the degree partnership, really, really excited about that. And honestly, I think I got really lucky because they chose 14 people to take part in it, at least initially, and it happened through Open Doors. So I had no previous contact, no previous, I had no idea I was going to get that deal, and it just popped up in Open Doors, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. Really, really cool opportunity. And I would say for now, most things are happening through Open Doors. I think some companies, and especially some local companies around Nebraska, are kind of figuring out what name, image, likeness looks like, how it's going to benefit their company and their brand, and how we are going to be kind of fit in that picture, how we're going to fit. So there are some interactions outside of Open Doors, but those are kind of hard to navigate. Yeah. You're not necessarily sure, what your price is, what, it's not easy, and there's not a ton of guidelines right now. It's a pretty open landscape.
The Wild West right now at the moment.
It is the Wild, Wild West at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And I think the big thing right now is just enjoying the opportunity that we have that so many previous athletes never got.
Mm-hmm. And we don't mean to do a self-plug here, but we are looking for sponsors.
We are. We are definitely looking for sponsors and open to anything. And that's super exciting, the fact that we're able to do that now and, see if we can plug some local places.
Oh, yeah.
Or national ones, you never count it out.
Open to anything right now. Make sure to DM us if any opportunities you'd like to team up. But what also I think is interesting, too, with NIL Pass now, you're seeing past players like, I'll say, Reggie Bush and others just wanting their stuff to be reinstated, like Reggie Bush for the Heisman. That got taken away because he took benefits or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that, too, those guys coming out and saying, hey, we want our stuff back.
Yeah, and I feel like in the case, especially with Reggie Bush, he was by far the best player in college football.
Oh, it wasn't close.
I think he deserves his Heisman back. Yeah. Especially with what we have currently going on. I mean, imagine how much Reggie Bush could have made outside of whatever he made that he wasn't supposed to make. But in today's game, what he could have made as the player he is, you know, like it's only right to give him back that Heisman. He earned it, went on to have a great NFL career. But that's part of his life story, and I think he deserves it. Come back to him. And I think for the university, I think he wasn't allowed to be on the USC campus.
Like, wow.
Little things like that. I mean, it's life-altering. Mm-hmm. So hopefully whatever instances are like that around the country, guys can finally come back to their alma maters. Guys can enjoy, you know, I think Michigan had, like, with their Fab Five teams, did they have something, you know. Like
they might have. I'm not entirely.
You know, there was something like that. But there are tons of cases out there where, you know, fluky or not, we're kind of starting a new era.
Yep.
And the players from the past deserve to be in on it and deserve to, you know, all right, maybe get a little bit of redemption.
Yeah. And it's also cool to think, too, that, or at least imagine, like, what players back, like, who's graduated now, how much they would have made if NIL was, like, in effect.
Oh, yeah, like guys like Johnny Manziel.
That's the first guy that comes to my mind. He would have made a boatload.
He would have. There's no doubt about it, you know, especially in his kind of fandom. I mean, Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
And who knows what he would have done with that. But there are tons of guys, tons of examples, and I know there's also guys out there who could have really benefited from it.
Yeah.
Guys who weren't in the best situations financially with their family, whatever, that this could be a real boost to them and could really help them, and as well as connect them to people who will help them post-football, post-whatever collegiate sport. Maybe help them set them up with a job. You know, you never know what connections can get you. And now student-athletes kind of finally have that capability to kind of go outside of their circle of just athletes and these rules that you have to follow.
Yeah, because you have guys who are great college players, but just you know they aren't going to be built for the next level. And so NIL just really opens those opportunities for those guys to start something, and then when they finally graduate – they can just ride that into whatever they want it to.
Definitely. They get to maximize their window. You know, everyone's window is a little bit different, and some guys, that window gets to happen in the NFL, and some guys it happens in college. And now student-athletes are finally able to capitalize on that. So really exciting stuff. Yeah. Awesome to have that type of opportunity. I'm really excited to see what other guys on my team, other guys around the country are doing. You know, there's tons of stuff. I mean, it's all out there right now. I mean, whether it's clothing, I mean, teaming up with huge companies, it's pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah, it certainly is a new era in college athletics, and it's going to be exciting to see where that goes. Don't go away. We have Damian Daniels and Ty Robinson coming up next, episode 5 of Athletes Unfiltered. Stay tuned. Like all the workers at McDonald's probably say to Austin Allen, welcome back. We're here, Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 5. And we have two units joining us here today.
Units.
Damian Daniels and Ty Robinson in the studio. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Gosh, look at these two dudes. Were you a bit shocked by their size when you first met them? Or I know you met Travis and Austin, so you gotten to kind of see the size of some of these guys. I'm just used to it. It's funny. When I go back home and I hang out with my buddies, I'm like, I'm actually not like a small guy. But I feel like a small guy in the locker room. You just get used to hanging out around all these big dudes. When did you guys hit growth spurts at different times? Have you always been the biggest kids? Like, what was that like?
I think I hit my growth spurt probably going to middle school, really. I wasn't always the biggest guy.
No?
Yeah.
You play running back? You always on the line?
No, nah, I started off at linebacker, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I was at linebacker, and then, my weight kept going up. And I kept getting bigger, taller, and everything. Yeah. So I ended up playing D-line, starting off middle school and everything. And ever since then, I've never looked back, really.
You know, it's different for me. I've always been the biggest. I think eighth grade year, I was 6 foot. Going into high school, and then after that, just grew another 5 inches and then stopped growing. So,
stop growing. Poor you, man. Fucking 6'5". Oh, gosh. My dad told me to stop saying the F-bomb. We can cuss on here. It's fine. But for the kids back home, sorry, Dad.
Family friendly.
I'll dial back a little bit. Yeah. Family friendly. Exactly. Exactly. Let's start with you, Double D. By the way, Damien has lots of nicknames.
Yeah.
Don't call him Snacks if you don't know him.
Yep.
It's Double D. Damien,
Boogie,
D-Boogie.
Yeah, just don't disrespect me.
What was your recruiting process like? What led you to Nebraska, and did you think about going somewhere else? Did you take other official visits? What was that like?
Yeah, man. I chose Nebraska over LSU, Colorado, University of Florida, and just something that kind of just – really separating Nebraska from everybody else, it had to be the atmosphere, football atmosphere. I didn't get to take my official visit to LSU or Florida. But it was just real big here. You know, when I stepped on, first off, I stepped off the plane. It was like a lot of news channels there. And they just interviewed me right there, right when I got off the plane. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah, and I was like in shock.
I didn't get that treatment.
I didn't.
Yeah, then starting out, coming in, driving from Omaha, I'm just looking like, man, it's nothing out here. And then we come into Lincoln, and then it's kind of nice. You just see red everywhere.
Yeah.
And then
the game day?
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then everything just went. It was just great from then on. Like, coaches, and it's really like a family environment, I feel like it is here. So.
Okay. I'm going to say, you're from Dallas, and so pretty big town.
Yep.
How was it moving to Lincoln? Obviously, only like 300,000 here. How was that adjustment?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. My sister, she had her son when she was in college. Umri, first son, and I just mess with my sister, tell her that I raised him and everything. But that's my sister, so I just mess with her sometime. But Umri, that was my young man. You know, he looked up to me and just. He was like 1 year old, I think, when I came out here. So it was kind of tough leaving him. I ain't going to lie. I had to leave my family. We was in Walmart buying my stuff. I end up going outside, and I end up kind of – I ain't break down, but I was tearing up because it was like a new moment and everything.
You broke down.
I broke down.
Hey, it's okay.
I broke down. No, I'm going to get to that, though. But, yeah, so I ended up breaking down at the stadium with my parents. They got in the van, and they kind of drove off away from me, and then I was just up there by myself. But – It was a all right adjustment, I could say. You know, it's just different moving from the South to the Midwest, so everything was good, though.
What are some of the things you noticed between South and Midwest? What's the biggest stuff you've noticed?
So, you know, first I was going to be the food and the people. But up here, it was kind of like the food. They eat cinnamon rolls with chili.
I've never had that. Have you had that?
I actually had it. I had a friend. She had actually, her mom actually made it for me because I was talking. She heard me talking down on it. I was like, "That's kind of disgusting. Who eats sweets with chili?" And she ended up making it for me. And I ain't gonna lie, it changed my mind.
Change your mind real quick. Okay.
Yeah, it changed my mind on it real quick. And then like just the people up here, it's more friendly and everything. Like you see somebody looking at you, you look at them and they smile, ask you how you doing. But back at home, they be like, "Hell, you looking at? So on me? Do I know you?" But yeah, that's pretty much how it be.
Yeah, it's definitely friendlier here. The Midwest vibes, Midwest nice, you know, the whole bit. What about you, Ty? Your recruiting process was I knew about it because Damien was here before me, but you weren't. I remember when you were getting recruited; it was a pretty big deal. I know they. The coach, I think there was five coaches or six coaches that went out there and, like, met your family and did that whole deal.
Yeah, the whole staff came out.
The whole staff?
Yeah, I didn't even know some of the staff. And they came out to my house, and, I mean, we had a bunch of food, and, I don't know, we just kind of had a big party. I ended up committing that night, too, with Coach Frost and Coach Dawson. And Coach Dawson lured me outside. I knew it was going down. I knew it was about to happen. And I was ready. And I knew when I saw the big man, Frost, come walking in my backyard, I was like, yep, here we go. It's about to, life-changing. It's about to change.
So what, like, give us a little insight. What was that like? What were the conversations like? What convinced you? Because I know you had your pick.
Yeah, so Nebraska was always, like, really number one for me. I knew that was the school that everyone else had to beat. Just because, I mean, I got family ties here. I knew that the great program, I mean, shoot, my uncle and my side of the family that's still here still preach about the days, the old days back in back in the 90s.
So. Oh, yeah, we here, yeah. No doubt.
Yep.
So, I mean, just come out. It was me and Doss. We were chilling by the fire, and we just got to talking about, like, you know, like, do you really want to come to the school? Because, I mean, they were my last home visit. I mean, this was the Friday, I think, before early signing day. And so I wanted to make it a little special, and I kept my decision close to the vest. I didn't even tell my parents, my mom, that I was going to commit that night. So I knew Frost came out, and then he asked if I had any questions. I just said, yeah, like, I want to come to school here. And, I mean, we got up, big old man hug. Then Dawson came over, gave me a hug, and Coach G came out, and he's like, hey, I got a flight to catch. Hopefully I'll see you. And I told him, don't worry, I'll see you in 6 months. And I've never been more scared in my life. I think that's what makes me scared of Coach Austin, because this man looked me dead in the eye, no emotion, and grabbed me. This dude grabbed me and brought me in and hugged me so tight. And then Dawson came from the back, and I mean, I'm squished in between these two massive dudes.
Yeah, they are huge.
So, I don't know what's going on. I just committed. Nobody else knows. We go inside. Everyone's in there. We're watching the thing, Husker Volleyball playing Illinois. I think this is the year they won the national championship.
That's sweet, yeah.
So we're watching them play Illinois. I come in, and my mom goes, well, did anything happen? And I said that I committed, and, I mean, everybody screaming and hollering.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I look over, my grandma's crying. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't realize this meant that much to you. But
yeah, it's a big moment. It's a big moment, honestly. And it's like, I don't know, in that process, you know how big of a decision it is?
I didn't. Oh, I truly didn't.
I don't know. I kind of did, but I didn't realize the magnitude of it, I guess. Like, it is life-altering, you know? It kind of changes your trajectory. How you end up, or, you know, the friends you meet, and then where you're going to end up after college, whether it's pros or something
else. And another thing, too, Coach Mario, he'd already left. I mean, he was walking
freaking
out.
Freaking Verdue. You love that guy.
When this coach came in to my high school my junior year. The first time I'm seeing him, I'm going, who in the hell is this? I'm looking at this 5'4" dude.
Professor-looking
with the round glasses, the bushy eyebrows. I'm going, you know what? I actually might like this dude. But somebody goes, go get Verduzco. And so somebody runs it. And, I mean, this dude came sprinting back in the house and came and hugged me. And I've never seen the man run before. I don't know if you have either.
Oh, I have. Goofy.
But goofy. I was surprised that he made – I think he was down the street in his car already. So, but, yeah, that night was life-changing, definitely, for me.
Mm. Well, who came second? Because it always seemed like you had Nebraska there at the forefront, obviously with the family ties and everything. Who came? Was there anyone close? Did anyone come close?
Yeah, Oregon was. I really loved Oregon. I loved Coach Salavea, Coach Mario. They recruited me really well. I built a really good relationship with them. So it was really hard for me to tell them that I didn't want to come to school there. It was easy for me to tell the other schools like USC and Stanford because I knew I didn't want to go there because I knew I wouldn't fit in there. Mm. And they understood that. But having to let these guys know, I mean, I put it off to like the last minute because I just knew it was going to be a really hard conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that I feel like not a lot of people know about, but the calls after you commit, you know, or the lack of calls or some of the coaches' reactions. I don't know if you have any funny stories, but I've heard stories of coaches just pissed that they didn't get the recruit, you know, like you give them a call and they're like, what the fuck, you know, why the hell you go in there, blah, blah, blah. Like they're all pissed and they put all this time and effort, whatever. But, hey, you made a decision. You guys got any good stories like that?
Man, yeah. It's really not probably as good as Tyler's or nothing, but it was like coaches that was hitting me up, like knowing that I was going to be signing on ESPN and everything. they kind of tried to, like, text me, like, hey, just thinking about you, man. We really hope you choose us. And then I would, like, the coaches that knew I probably thought I was coming, I, like, never texted them back. And, like, Coach Perella, coach who recruited me, he, like, I'd like some like Ty, I recruited on my official visit, though, in Nebraska. And told him I was going to sign on national television and, like, not say nothing about it. Mm. And so when I did that, it was kind of – some coaches was heartbroken, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. They called, end up, they didn't call me, but they called my father, and my father would tell me. And he was like,
called,
yeah, man.
They're
like, Coach so-and-so from so-and-so. You know, they messed up, man. They messed up. I was like, oh, shit. I just feel bad for them and everything. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's business.
And that's really the way you have to look at it, is it is a business. Yeah. I mean, you can't really let your emotion get into it, because next thing you know, you got this transfer portal now, and now you got these kids transferring every year, going to a different school just because you chose it based off emotion.
No doubt. Yeah, you can't. It's got to be a business decision. You got to like the school for the school, and definitely there's got to be a list of things you like just outside of your emotion. I remember I had a buddy, thankfully a family friend, who created like a little Excel sheet for me, and like I could score shit and kind of rank teams in that way. And that was kind of huge to maybe put aside some of the emotion that comes with it, because I mean, it's life is about relationships, and you build relationships, and that kind of tugs on you, you know, and that convinces you a lot. I know, obviously, you went through a coaching change, Double D, and Ty, you did too, because Coach Dawson, he went to the NFL, and then he came back.
Yeah, no, I was, he told me I was the first person that he told, even before his wife, so I felt,
oh, wow.
I felt like I really had to.
I hope his wife doesn't hear that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, Coach, but...
But no, he let me know, and I wasn't really sad, because I knew I wanted to go to the school here, but I knew that, well, for one, the dude was going to the NFL to go coach. I mean,
pursue a dream.
Who's going to be mad at that, right?
Yeah.
But then I also kind of looked at it as, well, shoot, I do good here in the next 3 or 4 years. I got an in, and then he can start throwing my name around. And
no doubt.
Hopefully I can make it to the league like that. But thankfully he came back, and I'm happy he's back, and I'm happy to keep joking around with him and build that relationship.
Yeah. What about you? How was your transition from, you know, previous staff to Coach Frost? Were there any worries? You know, there had to be.
Yeah, you know, you built that relationship with the coach that recruited you. And Coach Perella, I built a bond with him, and it was a strong one. And then when we kind of knew, like, probably like second to last game that they was from the clear house, it was kind of hard. And, like, you try not to process that, really. And then when it came down to it, it was an emotional day for everybody. And that's the thing, like, especially for my class, really. Like, Coach Riley came in, he said his goodbyes and everything. And then we broke off to position groups. And Coach Perella, he ended up saying his goodbye. And that was a pretty hard thing. He didn't want to leave. You can hear it in his voice, like, he didn't want to leave. Because, you know, he was a black shirt here back in the 90s. And, so, like, he just helped me and DT back. We was his recruits, and he pretty much told us how much he loved us, and, like, he just know that the dude they bringing in is going to get this thing turned around. And he said he wanted nothing but the best for us. And, yeah, Coach Perella, he ended up going to the Browns and everything, and now he's head coach at a high school. So, yeah.
Okay.
Was there any doubt in your mind that you weren't going to stay, or was it always, I'm here to stay with the coaching change?
I was actually going to stay with the coaching change. You know, I talked to my pops about everything, and my pops, he kind of keeps me grounded, and he still does to this day. I had talked to him, told him where my mom was at. I was telling him, like, I love Nebraska, but I just don't know how like, if the coaches the new coaches will fuck with me the way I would want them to, you know what I'm saying? And, like, when Coach Frost came in, we ended up having one-on-one meetings with him, and it was pretty good. He pretty much told me, like, when he was at UCF, I'll be the type of guy that he would recruit. But he said he told me personally he didn't give me an offer because he didn't know if I was going to choose him, because I had another, like, a lot of bigger offers. So he's pretty much told me that the guy he's bringing in, which is Coach Dawson, he said that he's pretty good at what he does, and he think that he can give me the right tools to get to the next level. And I trusted Coach Ross on that, and it was a good year. My first ever collegiate career started under Coach Frost. So
I was gonna say, it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. I mean,
yeah,
killing it out there. It was fun playing with you last season.
Yeah. Appreciate it, bro. Yeah. And, you know, Ty, vice versa, man.
Touching on that a little bit, we have a lot of guys coming back on the defensive side. I'm pretty sure you guys have damn near the whole defensive line room coming back, right?
Yep.
So what are your feels on that? What are your thoughts on that? I'm excited. I mean, not for practice, but I'm excited about the games, you know.
I'd say that must be really fun.
Yeah, no, I'd say we're having a blast, really. I mean, there's really nothing changed. All the same guys are still here. We're all just going to keep doing what we've been doing. Mm. And now we're taking the young guys under our wings. I mean, now we got Staley, who's officially the old man.
I mean, been the old man, I swear.
Yeah, coming in for a sixth year. It's good to have DT back, too, coming off the injury last season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the room is going to be healthy. The room is going to be good. And I feel like this season is going to be really productive for us.
Yeah. Like, what kind of impact are you guys trying to make? You know, where are you trying to improve, you know, from last year to this year?
So, you know, last year we was probably one of the top rush defenses in the country. And that was a big milestone for us as a defensive line. And somewhere we're trying to improve on is our pass rush. Mm. You know, me being a big dude, you know, I know for a fact that I'm probably going to be coming off the field on third and longs. And, you know, they'll probably, like, keep Ty and Ben still in the game. They'll bring DT in or something. But, like, me personally, I've been working on trying to get my weight at a consistent level where I can play at and it's comfortable for me. And me personally, I want to improve on my pass rushing as well. You know, seeing like Ty, Ben Stilley, DeAndre Thomas, and Casey, them pass rushing, and then they hitting everybody with their different moves. You know, they really got their own personal moves. And me, I just bull rush and just take up.
But
room.
You got your flavor to it, though. You got your spice.
You got a little spice to it. So playing from the middle, let's get into a little football talk. You probably see a lot of double teams, right?
Yep.
What is that like? How do you know when those are coming, or how do you know maybe you get a one-on-one, or maybe you get a one-on-one with the center? Or what's kind of talk me through that.
So first off, it's all about my get-off. So, but before I go do my pre-snap procedures, I
pre-snap.
I get the play from the sideline. And I look at the surfaces and backs, and right after that, I put myself in a mode, and going from there, you can hear it depends on what offensive line we play. They communicate a lot up front, so you can hear them say slip, double. They pretty much tell us. They give us answers to the
test. What about like opposing teams do that?
Yeah, there's
a lot of communication on the offensive line. People have to know, and then you start picking up on that throughout the game, or is it something you kind of key in on from the start? You kind of I have an idea of what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, we get it kind of from the start. So like once they start communicating, you just pick it up right then and there. So you be like, all right, bet. He just said slip, so I need to play it this way. I need to be in this position. I need to have my hand right here, and I need to press with this hand. So, like, you know how to defeat those blocks and everything. They say slip, so you know you coming right off his ass, and that's probably going to be either a TFL or you're going to make the ball cut back to a defensive end or a linebacker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they pretty much just give us the answers to the test.
Mm. I'd also like to add that I think Coach T has done a really good job with, like, teaching us, like, what the play is going to be, or like an idea of what the play is going to be before the ball is going to even snap, just based off of their alignment, their formation.
Yeah, kind of predicting that way, down and distance, alignment, formation, whatever it may be. Maybe the backfield, where the running back's at, stuff like that.
Yeah, right? You know, like if the back's to you, and I mean, they got a wing set to the other side, you know the ball's not coming to you, right? Like, you know you're going to either get cut out by that tackle, or they're going to try and scoop block you up to the linebacker, and so you know that you're going to just have to fight pressure to that side of the ball. Mm. So I really give a lot of thanks and appreciation to Coach T for really teaching us just that.
Yeah, just the IQ level and everything of ball. Like, you just change your whole perspective of how you look at everything.
For sure. Yeah. And that jumps from high school, right? Yeah. You know, like, it's night and day, at least in my opinion. I mean, high school, you're kind of like the guy. It's not as difficult that way. You might not have to think about that many things in that sort of light. But college is like a whole new level of just detail, you know, top down. If you miss out on one thing, then maybe that's a play they break a 30-yard run.
Yeah, in high school, I used to just get down and play. I get the call from the sideline, just get down and play and try to make the play. I didn't really know what was going on, really. So I don't really know much.
Well, and even I would guess the terminology, too, just gets a lot more complicated and just all that stuff, too.
Yep.
Well, I'm curious about the offensive lines around the Big Ten. Is there any that smack talks up there, or is there anyone that does that, known for that?
I don't know. We had the dude from Penn State with Colin, and then we had
Colin. Yeah. So Colin Miller. There's no way he's going to hear this, but the guy liked to talk smack. Me and him would go back and forth in practice all the time, so I could definitely see him just talking smack to everybody.
But, I don't know. It's like the whole offensive lines really don't talk unless they really like that, you know what I'm saying? But one I can say that's like that, and he talked his talk, and he backed it up. I got to say Illinois, Kendrick Green. Yeah, KG, you know, he's in my fraternity and everything, so I got to give a shout-out to the bros. But, but yeah, KG, he was drafted in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and hopefully he's going to be taking that starting spot since Pouncey retired. But, yeah, you know, he's a good matchup and everything. But, yeah, that man right there is probably – probably the only offensive lineman I played against that talked the talk and could walk.
What about like the best player you've ever played against? Yeah. That is something we ask every person. In your opinion, you know, in college, who's the best guy?
Tyler, I don't know how to say his last name. Wisconsin center who got drafted to the Cowboys
in third round. Was he a first round or third round?
Third round.
Okay,
third round.
I think mine has to be Jonathan Taylor because that dude absolutely ran me over my freshman year in the Wisconsin game. That dude ran me over.
Hit you different.
Yes, and I understood at that time that this is going to hurt. this is different.
Yeah.
This is different.
Yeah. I think people don't realize the kind of depth of talent that goes into the draft, that like a dude who's drafted in the fifth round in college, like that guy was a stud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that guy was a beast. And if he was – offensive line especially almost, I feel like some of those guys are undervalued. Like, they're either drafted in the first round or they're – you know, like, Jaime was a stud for us. He got drafted in the sixth round, you know? And he's going to make the roster. He's going to
– But I think it's because teams know
league.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, they just know that they need to get the skill players first because they know the offensive lineman will still be there. Maybe. I don't know if it's different for that, but that's just kind of what I notice.
Yeah, so Jonathan Taylor and then – Tyler.
Tyler Biadez. His last name got a Z.
Okay.
So, like, it got a Z at the very end. Yeah.
It's one of those names. I got you.
Yeah.
So let's jump back to the D-line room, the D-line group. Let's hear some stories. I want to know who you thinking down the most big guys. We asked this to Cam. He said Ethan Piper. I'm seeing some finger pointing at Double D.
It's not for me, I promise.
Yeah. Man, I ain't gonna lie.
I feel like Rue could.
Yeah, I think probably Rue Quan or Jalen or somebody.
Jalen, definitely.
Yeah, Jalen Weaver.
Is he the new freshman?
Yep.
Yeah.
New freshman. How big is that dude?
He is 6'9" and 380 pounds.
Holy cow!
And 289 pounds of pure muscle. So, yeah, y'all do the math right there. That's tell everything for y'all.
Dude is an absolute – you want to talk about unit.
He's a unit.
He's a unit.
You think he's got some potential, though?
He has potential.
Yeah. We were doing I've seen him move, bro. Man. He's moved pretty decent for that much size, and he's only going to, I'm assume – I mean, I know they've been on him about cutting weight, so.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He I'd say he'll probably drop 40 pounds, and he'll be 340. And y'all looking at like a – All-American for a couple years here in Nebraska.
Really?
I feel like, yeah.
Dude's going to mess people up. I promise you that.
Like, when you come in and just look at him and then you ask him, how did you play an attack-style defense in high school? He was like, no. And then he ended up telling us his coaches just told him to get up and go.
That might be a little learning curve for him.
Yeah.
Not
right
relying
there.
On the size.
Yeah, but – Everything else, everything, he's coming along. You know, he's been lifting with us and been conditioning with us, you know. But, yeah, he's coming along. He's pretty much taking everything we give him about knowledge, about ball and everything. And it's just like the ceiling sky is the limit for him, really.
For sure, yeah. What about the weight room? Who's throwing up some of the biggest numbers? I want to know on the squat bar. Is it Nash?
Well, Nash, of course.
Nash is a tank, isn't he?
Of course, yes. Nash does, I don't even know, what, like 365 hang clean, like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks like perfect form.
He just dialed in.
Yeah.
Big Nash, yeah. That's my little, that's my lifting partner, I can say. But
say it, come on.
That's my lifting partner, I can say, but we was talking, and Who was it? Somebody came in there. They was like, who lift with you and stuff like that. I'm like, I can't really say that they lift with me. I'm trying to keep up with Nash. But yeah, Big Nash, probably like, if not the strongest person on the team by far.
I say Colton Feast too. Colton's been with me and DJX. So, and
I forget, is DJX, he's an outside linebacker, but he's like,
he does his own thing. He's with Duvall. That's all that matters.
He's a tank as well. Good grief. That dude's built different. If there's a guy on our team that's built different.
He started a Twitch stream, so just FYI. Yeah, all
plug
you people.
DJX, Twitch stream. I have no idea what the...
Tonight's his first night.
I was saying, yeah, I saw that tweet. Yeah, it's tonight.
Yeah, tonight's his first
night. He's got a brand now. I mean, go support the military,
love to see it,
man. Go support a freaking doc.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call him, I think he's more than that. I mean, at first, I was kind of intimidated and scared of him, but I've kind of become... really close
he's
friends.
He's a really good dude.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good
dude. His Twitch stream is D_Jackson38. Twitch.tv.
That's a plug right there.
We'll go check him out.
Go check him out. So, hop into something new. What was it like playing with your brother? He grad transferred to Nebraska. I loved him. He brought great energy. I did notice a little bit of a change in Double D that I won't mention on the podcast. he's heard me say it before, but... You know what? No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it anyways.
Come on.
So there's some things that go on in the locker room. I don't want this to sound worse than it is, but...
He's shaking.
Unfiltered. Double D, he's acting fruity in there, dude. He acts fruity in the locker room, all right? He acts a little fruity in there. Guys know not to mess with him. This may or may not make the cut, but it has to be mentioned. When his older brother showed up, this dude was an arrow, straight arrow. Stop messing with dudes. No fruitcakery at all. wasn't about it. So let's talk about it,
man. So yeah, you know, big bro. So it was kind of it's a crazy story, man. Me and my brother, we transferred from Red Oak to Bishop Dunn. It's a private school in Dallas. Coming in, they was going 3-9 every season, and then when we got there, me, my brother, and then a couple of some other kids from different high schools in the country, not country, but the state, they came in. We all came in together to get an education, and we ended up turning the program around.
Getting an education.
Yep.
That's what it was about. Straight up. It was about that education, education.
My brother, I started varsity since I was a freshman in high school, and I played guard, and I backed my brother up on, like, a defensive tackle.
Okay.
And my brother, he was starting tackle, and he was starting nose guard, too. So my brother, he's always been a leader and everything, and I kind of, you know, I always looked up to my brother.
For sure.
And my sophomore year when we was this is our year we won the state championship. I ended up missing that whole season because I tore my patella tendon.
Okay.
And it was like right before fall camp started and everything, and I was pretty much robbed for that year to have my brother. And so I think my brother, he ended up messing up his finger, and he ended up missing his whole season. His senior season at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And he was pretty much down and everything. I call him and talk to him. And I used to mess with him. I'm like, hey, man, you know, you come over here and come turn up your last year with me if you're done for the season and everything. And my brother was like, nah, I think I'm good where I'm at. And I'm like, all right, D. So we left it at that. And, like, I never thought anything of it. And then until, like, towards the end of the year was winding down, he was like, hey, you still got that offer on the table? And I was like, what? And then he was like, you trying to get that last year with me? I'm like, Hell yeah, I'm trying to get that last year with you. What's up? I'm like, shit, I was robbing my sophomore year to play with you, and this is kind of crazy because it was his senior year when we was in high school, and now it's his senior year in college, my sophomore year on the field and everything. So we ended up getting that year back, and I just want to say it was a blessing because it's not a lot of people that can say that they played high school football and college football with your brother. And,
no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time college football with your brother doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to the league. He's still in the league, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was San Francisco 49ers. He got moved up to the active roster. Third to last game of last year, I think. Yeah, he got
moved
up.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember he came in and he became a captain right away. He's just that type of dude, you know, that type of dude.
Yeah. And then I just want to just thank God for him and everything because without him, it won't be no D Boogie, really. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time influence. What about you? And your brother?
I was about to say, no, I got a brother here.
Yeah.
I'm in that position to be the older brother. So.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a walk on here. He's actually a wide receiver, so I know you'll be looking out for him on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, I'm excited. He's gonna try and earn his way to a scholarship and. He's been. I try to hype him up a little bit in the weight room to the strength staff. I think they really like him a lot. So
yeah,
our journey is just beginning, and your journey is coming to an end.
Oh man, don't say that shit.
In a good way.
Yeah. That's too funny.
Damian Daniels and Ty Robinson with us here on Athletes Unfiltered. We'll take a break. We'll go to Tweets Unfiltered. Get ready. It's going to be fun. Stay with us. Here we are. Tweets Unfiltered. The best part of the show. Damian Daniels and Ty Robinson with us here on Athletes Unfiltered, and not a lot of tweets from these guys in terms of bad ones, which isn't a bad thing at all.
Yeah, you know, we don't really want to find bad tweets, but I was a little disappointed. there is one from Damian that I feel like needs to be acknowledged. It's kind of funny. No, it wasn't. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all. If you want to touch on that.
I don't know. It's probably like, I think I did an interview around spring ball, if I recall, and I was looking at the article. I think Sean Callahan wrote it, and pretty much talking about how much weight I lost, how good I look and everything. And I just remember, I can't find the tweet right now, but I just remember one fan, he kind of wrote, "Damn, it took him 4 years to get his body right." And I just remember that, and it kind of made me laugh a little bit, but
progress, man.
It's just progress, all you need to know.
Motivation.
Exactly. Anything else that strikes you guys out? Like you said, Ty, earlier, you're not really on social media a ton.
No, I mean, not like the only time I like really started posting was when Open Doors came and they explained to us like how to like what we should be doing. And, you know, I was like, you know, might as well, because I think of that as like another business as social media, because I mean, you get money off of it from doing ads. You gain the followers. You gain more money. So, one thing that does irk me though is that I don't know. You'll see like a Nebraska post or something, and you got like all the trolls in the comments, like saying like win a game or another four and eight season. And you just like you don't understand what goes behind closed doors. Like you're just saying that. Like you don't understand the hard work that we put in there every day. And that the time that we sacrifice to come watch film and spend extra time with the trainers and even in the weight room. So I don't know, that irks me sometimes that these fans would say it over social media, but they come up to you in person and they're going to act like the biggest fan ever, the biggest Nebraska fan ever. So I don't know, it's kind of two-faced to me.
And it's funny too, because those trolls like think it's coming directly from the players or coaches or whatever, not the social team at Nebraska or whatnot.
Yeah.
They think it's coming directly from the players or coaches or whatnot.
The Nebraska posts and then people like talking shit underneath that is probably the if you say something on my post, it's like, all right, bro, I get it, whatever. But, the football, like coming after our creative team? Like, come on, bro. They're just doing their job.
Yeah, like a lot of them will be like, sick edit, but we'll still be a losing football. It's like, what? That's nothing to do. Like,
what do you want me to do, bro? You want me to not post?
Just be totally social media silent the entire time.
We got those fans, though, that do clap back in the comment section.
Dude, there's a lot of defenders out there, which I can appreciate. You know, some people take it really seriously. Like, I saw – so, you know the recent video of Cam Taylor chucking that football? I don't know if you saw it. Like, the dude has a cannon. I think I mentioned it before, but the guy can just literally walk on the field and throw it 80 yards without – warming up without doing anything. Like, he's just like that.
Yeah.
And someone commented and tagged me at Martinez the QB with the eyeball emoji, and someone else was like, "What the fuck, dude?" Like, clapping back at him so hard. And I'm like, oh jeez, like, these guys are about to get in a fight in my mentions. Like, please leave me out of it. And then they're like, "Dude, it was just a joke." He's like, "Obviously wasn't a joke. Like, Martinez is probably not laughing at that." And I'm like, bro, it's not that deep.
I'm not laughing, but at the same time.
Yeah, but Cam has a cannon, and let's show it off. Why not? Like, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, what does that matter? But some people, they're just getting after it. They're freaking Twitter warriors.
Twitter fingers.
Let's talk a little bit about gaming. Yeah, we got some games. Social media, you know? A little bit about the Twitch stream earlier. You were talking about some, I don't even know, streamers or whatever. You guys are both kind of gamers.
Yep.
LD, a little Madden action. Ty, a little bit of everything. Apex. Would you say that's like your favorite hobby?
Yeah. And if I had to say, I'd spend, like I said, if I'm not working out or I'm not playing football or watching film, I'm playing some type of video game, whether it's on my phone.
So, you know, screw school, you know, whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're in the same clan, dude. We're in the same Clash Royale clan.
Yeah, and we're about to win this clan war.
We are about to win this clan war.
I'm telling you.
Damn straight.
What do you mean by clan war?
That was unfiltered by Double D right there. Let's talk about Madden. I want to talk about Madden because it pisses me off, man. It pisses me off because it's not realistic. How do you deal with that? You play as a D-line or you go play linebacker? What's your strat?
Man, my strategy, I play I play with the Buffalo Bills, so that's my team. It used to be the Cowboys, but they
what?
End up.
The Bills are your team?
Josh Allen's got a cannon.
I like the Bills, but why? I thought you were
they defense
Dallas dude.
I was. See, look, that's the thing. 20, I could play with the Dallas. I could play with the Rams. But it is something about when I put on 21, I just play with the Buffalo Bills because I like their defense. I like how the defense is.
Huh? You're a bandwagon.
Oh, God, nah. But, yeah, I play with the linebacker. I just kind of move around with him. I kind of put everybody in man coverage and, you know.
I would work in Madden. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what
right
you
now.
Think?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I change it up.
I don't know. I thought that was nice because my roommates won't even play me no more in Madden, and I thought that was nice. But playing against him, this dude whooped me by, what, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah. 3. But, yeah.
3?
21? 21, dude? 21
piece? No, I ain't no 21 piece. I'm just talking. But, I beat Ty, and you can ask Carlos, Khalil, DT. Yeah, ask any of those guys, man. Yeah. They know, but they don't even want to play me no more.
You still game with them at all? You still, like, keep in contact with those dudes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We were just out there in Ogallala for the 4th of July and everything, kicking it. And I ran the house. I ain't going to lie, Khalil, he got one win over me. But
just so lucky stung, win, yeah. You know.
I know it stung.
It stung.
Your pride
bad.
Was hurt.
Yeah.
Even a blind squirrel catches a nut every once in a while. You know, so.
I mean, I just use the defensive line. I just stick with what I know. I know I try to use a linebacker, and next thing you know, it's a touchdown. So I don't even try using the linebacker.
It's like that, huh? So, what about you guys play NCAA at all?
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, like, dude, that was my – that's all me and my buddies play in high school.
Exactly, yeah.
Before, we go over, like, at lunch, we just go back to one of my buddies' house and just play NCAA. Like, after school, NCAA, that's all we would do.
Yeah, man. Before Madden, before everybody jumped on Madden, I ain't going to lie, it had to be NCAA. NCAA was it. And then Like, to this day, actually, my freshman year, we was in the suites. That's all we played. Like, every Madden that came out, we was up there playing NCAA 14 and just updating the rosters and everything and just playing like that. Mm. Yeah, so.
Yeah, updating the rosters back. Was cool. Yeah. That was cool. They're coming out with a new one, right?
Yep.
Isn't that a thing? But they're not going to do player names, or they're just going to do, like, team logos or something?
Yeah, they got revealed. I think it's like 2023. I think it's when it's supposed to come out.
Oh,
but
that sucks.
The thing is, obviously, with NIL passing, they're going to have to do some type of deal, possibly with players or something. I'm not exactly sure. That's their problem to figure out. But
yeah, one of my high school coaches played at Cal. He was a fullback, and he said he got 40 cents in the mail from NCAA 14 because he was in the game. Like, they had to compensate all the players.
Oh, my.
That's just disrespectful. 40 cents. Like, this stamp costs more than that.
Yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do with freaking four dimes?
No. You're not supposed to do jack with that.
But no, it was the shit. I mean,
it really was. Like, I still play it. I mean, go back home, like, my buddies, we play NCAA. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Maybe NCAA. Make a little player on there, update the rosters.
No.
Don't even get me started on the creative players now.
All the legacy, the
man. What legacies? I pick even on the earlier NCAA. I used to create a player and just put them on my favorite team. I used to play with Texas Tech because they red and black. So I used to spat my running back up, my quarterback, my offensive line.
Get them all right.
Yeah, I used to get everybody
dark visors.
Exactly. Yeah. The whole team, and then my offensive line blocking, their running would be 99, everything.
Yeah, I'd make the whole team like jacked. Like, they're exactly. Just way OP.
Just screens and everything, just fastest receiver. Yeah. NCAA was, that was the time back then, man.
I didn't really play NCAA just because I didn't get to gaming. My family wouldn't let me game for, like, I don't even know, until I got to middle school. So we were an outside family.
Bro, my dad, I'll never forget this. I don't know. I was in, like, the fifth grade, maybe, fourth grade. I wanted to get Xbox Live so I could play with my buddies. He's like, no, I'm not putting my credit card information in there. Like, my dad, dude, like, we're in a new age right now. Like, just trust it. This isn't like some spoof thing. Like, come on. It's like $30. Just play online with my homies. He's like, no. No, you're not. And I couldn't play gun games.
Yeah.
So now, like, I'm just trash. Like, all my buddies are playing Call of Duty and stuff. And I try and hop on, and I'm just getting shredded out there. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun to suck.
That's another one.
I mean, it does happen, though. I mean, it happened to my brother, and he was a PlayStation, so I'm an Xbox guy. So
big Xbox
rival,
guy. Yep.
Rival. So I explained that's why the PlayStation sucks, because it happened twice. That he got his account got hacked, and people were spending my mom's money, the card that was on the PlayStation.
No way.
And my mom's like yelling at my brother, like, why are you buying all this stuff? And he's like, I'm not. It's not me. And she's not believing him, and then she finally believes him and gets a card and gets a new card. So,
damn.
I mean, it definitely does happen.
That's tough. Well, I stand corrected, I guess.
That Xbox 360 era was something else.
Yeah. I mean, you hear stuff about the chats and things like that. Like,
the time to be alive in the Black Ops 2 lobby. I mean,
that was like an insane time.
Stuff, bro. Like,
the things you would hear would not go over well today.
No. Isn't it still kind of like that, though? Like, people are just crazy on the mic. I know my roommate Brody got suspended for, like, 3 days because he said some shit in the chat. So
get shit on.
Some little kid.
Yeah, that's
you're trash.
That's definitely
trash.
Me, though.
Dog water.
I'm definitely going to let you know if I just, you know, shit on your whole team. I'm definitely going to let you know.
Have to.
That.
There's no other way. It's no other way. You got to. What you say to me earlier? Assert your dominance. Yeah, man, but.
He's got Ty Week over there.
It was a thing from skills and drills today.
Skills and drills.
Yeah, shout out Ruquan. Ruquan, but.
Ruquan. Shout out.
Come on, give me a little insight. I want to laugh. I don't know.
Nah, that's. Hey, what goes on in the D-line room stays in the D-line room.
Oh, just that sounds like
some
fruit basket stuff again.
Roo strong. Like, raw strength.
Ruquan, yeah. Where's he from?
He's from Michigan.
Yeah?
Yep.
See, is he still doing like computer engineering or whatever? I remember. So like everybody, little inside here.
That like computer engineering.
He was at first. I don't know what he's doing now. He might still be on it. I don't know.
I don't know. I got a head shake. I don't know. But anyways, when the new enrollees or the new freshmen, whatever, when they first get here, big team meeting, they have to come introduce themselves, say their name, high school, major, whatever. And, you know, a lot of these dudes get up there and they're like, you know, I'm business, accounting, like computer engineering. And you check in with them a year later, like, yeah, I'm doing something else.
Like basket weaving or something.
I'm doing underwater basket weaving. It's actually going really good. You know, I think there's some real job potentials. It's a huge market now, you know.
Yeah.
What are you guys studying, both of you?
I studied, I actually got my degree in communication, and I got a minor in criminal justice. Mm. So
yeah. You graduated already.
Yeah, and I'm in the applied science for my master's, working towards that.
So nice. Don't.
Yes, sir.
I am nutritional health sciences, but going a pre-med route. So it's not really more to do with, like, nutrition and diets and stuff. It's just, like, a easy path to help me balance with football, mm-hmm. with classes and stuff when they're available.
Yeah.
To go into to apply to the medical school.
So what do you want to do exactly?
So I want to be a pediatric doctor. So I love kids, and I knew I wanted to do something in the medical field. I wanted to be – so my mom, she's an equine vet. She's a veterinarian, so I've been around animals my whole life.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought I wanted to do until one day she's – has me trying to do something on a dog, and my dog tries biting me, and I jump back 10 feet, and she goes, I don't think animals are for you.
Hey, at least you got some experience early on, so you kind of got to figure out that wasn't for you, you know?
Yeah, but for some reason, I don't know why, I just have a good time with kids. Kids love me for some reason. I don't know why either. I don't know. It's just something that I really wanted to do, and I knew I wanted to go to medical, so.
Mm. That must be a lot, balancing all that. I think I read an article that Journal Star did on you a little bit ago. You have 18 credit hours.
Yeah, that was not my smartest move last semester.
Dude, I was in 18 for the spring. You were in 18 for the fall.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
That's tough.
I was ready to do a lot of things.
That 18, that was the year you played, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That was just this last season.
Yeah, I took 18 my freshman year when I redshirted, and – yeah, it actually helped benefited me. That's like that's why I graduated in 3 years. Mm. But yeah, playing and taking 18 credit hours, yeah, Ty, I salute you, bro.
It definitely helped me because now I'm really close to being in class ahead. So
yeah, that's awesome.
It really helped me. Yep. I got through. Yeah.
I grinding
got through the struggle.
Dude, I really for got, sure.
I think I finished with like a 3.0 GPA. You know those medals they give out that Dennis gave.
Oh yeah,
I got like a little bronze one.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah.
So. It wasn't bad, but I just remember I'm more of a like a anatomy, like biology. That's my type of class, and chemistry is not it for me. I hate chemistry with a passion, and I'm not afraid to let people know that. Because
what's your experience with chemistry, Diva?
Man, I came in here. I ended up changing my major as well. I came in wanting to do kinesiology, and then right that first coming up, we was talking about the. Schedule, and that mug said I had 3 chemistry classes or something, and they were like 2 labs or something. I was like, and then I just had flashbacks from high school.
Hey, I'm like, chem labs are no joke.
Can't do it.
chem labs are no joke because they don't let you sit, and they're 3 hours long.
They don't let you sit?
No, it's a safety hazard, apparently.
And don't you have to wear pants? I'll never forget Will Farniak walking around in sweats.
Yeah, you got to wear pants and, pants and closed-toe shoes.
Oh, man.
Yep. So, chem lab, they don't let you sit. I think that's why I like biology so much better, because I got to sit down after a metabolic workout.
Yeah, dude. A grinder of a workout and you just stand for 3 hours?
Yeah.
Couldn't be me.
But, yeah. So, right now, I'm in the second 5 weeks for the summer. I'm taking OChem 2 with Jergs and Jacob Herbeck and Phelan.
Mm.
We're going through the grind and the struggle together. So I don't know how that's going to work with fall camp.
Yeah. Is it going to overlap a little bit? Damn.
That's going to be fun for you.
I took an 8-week like strategies class to start my master's program this summer. And luckily, I'm done with it. This is the first week I'm done. It's a great feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Screw doing school during fall camp. Love school, but fall camp is my favorite because it's like I only get to focus on football. You know what I mean? Like spring ball, you got school still. You're doing full pad of practices all the time. Yep. Like fall camp, like the season's right around the corner. At least I have that. In the spring, we're just out here. You know, we're out here doing this. We're putting in work, but I got to go to class freaking 2 hours later and do all this other shit. You got to do homework. You don't have to worry about that in fall camp.
Yeah, it makes me mad.
You'll get through it.
Oh, I know I will. I mean, I won't. There's no way I'll let myself fail, but it's there's one way or another. Because with that Chem 110 I took during the season, there was a make or break test that I had that if I didn't pass it, there was no point in me finishing the class.
Yeah.
And I had passed it by like only a few points of what I needed. So each test, I mean, I ended up with, I remember one time when we were in the hotel, I took my chem, like my last chem test before the final, and I looked myself in the mirror, and I raised my arms up, and I kid you not, my sweat stains from the test were all the way down to the end of the shirt.
Jeez.
That's how nervous I was. I was just freaking out during the whole test. I'm going through these questions. I'm like, I don't even know what half this stuff is. I don't remember you talking about this.
Yeah. Is that one of those type of classes where everyone's got like a 60%, but they round the whole class up to like... Dude, I swear those classes are out there like, man, they're not going to change the curriculum. We're just going to, you know what, guys, it's okay. Y'all got D's. The D's go to A's and the F's go to B's, you know?
Yeah, there were a few like that, but... I mean, I was struggling because I went through with Garrett Snodgrass and he kept killing it. And I was like, what is this dude doing that I'm not? I'm putting in this extra time to study, and he just understood it, and I didn't. It was a struggle.
Adrian, you probably have experience with that. Finance, I hear, is a big thing with that.
Yeah, finance actually went really well for me.
Oh, good.
And I took it in the summer, and it was I believe I took it in the 3 week. So that's a class every day, 3 hours a day.
Yep.
And it was a complete grind. But I was like, hey, I got to be dialed for 3 weeks, and that's it. It's focus, learn everything I can, one thing I got to do, and I think having that helped me a ton, you know? And so I actually did really well, thankfully.
How did you stay engaged for the 3 hours? Well, that's my question, because that's what I have like an hour to 2 hour class and then recitation after. So
I mean, the big thing is like staying dialed as long as I can, but regardless, I'm taking notes the whole time. So like, all right, maybe I'm not completely focused and retaining it, but I'm putting it down and that's doing something, and then I can go back and look at it, and maybe it's like I heard it, wrote it down, read it again. All right, I kind of understand it, even if I wasn't completely engaged. But I was on some different shit that summer. So, like, I did finance. I did one of my upper-level econ classes to, like, fulfill my minor. And I think I did accounting 202 or something like that. Like, I was taking some hard classes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard accounting is really hard.
Accounting 201 is definitely worse than accounting 202. 201 is, like, almost like a weeding out type of class. You know, it's difficult, and people that want to be business majors, and then if you don't stick it out, it's like it gets a lot of people out of the major. You know, we'll just have to ask Tate about it when he hops on a little bit later. But yeah, you know, I found a way.
There you go. I'm just over here taking these easy journalism classes here at the J School.
Just like Tate over here. Former business major, one of the many.
Big Tate Young.
Was it accounting that did it for you? It was a lot of stuff. So you understand my pain, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not. So I salute all the college athletes, because school's not hard. Or school's hard when...
Huh?
Come again?
School's hard trying to balance it with whatever you got.
Yeah, dude. It's a lot of commitment, because football is like a job. At the collegiate level, it really is. As far as the time commitment, I mean, you're lifting, and the amount of brain power, like the focus you have to put into it, and then whatever you have left, it's like we got to find a way to get this shit done in the classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then you got to go study it late at night.
You got to go study late, you know. And then it's like, oh, my body's aching. Oh, what about the game plan? What about this dude I'm going against? What about this? What about that? Like, you got to find a way to really prioritize your time, and it's tough. And especially if you're a younger guy, like playing early, like figuring that like sweet spot out is not easy.
And that's the thing too, like me when I came in, I'm not gonna lie, I was low key happy I redshirted because helped me get the college life down and trying to pretty much juggle playing college ball at a high level and going to class every day and studying and kind of helping me set my schedule up, and it kind of made it easier to the year I played because I was actually better going through fall camp and taking classes for both 5 weeks my first year playing, and going to the season just made everything easier just because I knew how to do things, what time to do it, and what time I need to be in bed, and like how I function things. So yeah, so everybody who's saying that they don't feel like redshirting, I like try not to, but it's not the end of the world. Just put
for
it
sure
that way.
Yeah, it definitely could be beneficial.
Yeah.
Damian Daniels, Ty Robinson with us here on Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 5. Guys, appreciate you coming on. That was fun.
Hey, man. Thank y'all for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure to follow the podcast at ATH Unfiltered and follow us at Nate Martinez, the QB, and at X on Sports. From Adrian Martinez, I have been your host, Jeff Ekstrom. And remember, this is the podcast made by the athlete for the fan. We'll see you next time.